آمد گرم زمین بسیار بینان جنال شبا که چکشون نورتنی به تصمیل شد بگرم I think it's too loud. The angle is, you have to change the angle of the speaker. Pancha Kopa Trivias Jagripa Sindhaveva Javaditana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Jaya Hari Nama Chidar Nanam Anandam Brita Dham. It's too loud. Paratattva Akshara Akara Nitajami Kripa Kari Nama Rupa Avatari Jivadaya Kari Layapan. It's too loud. Chai Gosai Kori Charanan Vadan Yahoite Bignash Abhishta Puran Shirup Shri Sanatana Bhattaragana Sri Jiva Gopala Bhattadasaragana Chai Gosai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. So yesterday we left off with the third pair of names, Yugal Nam, representing Nishta. And one little footnote to that description. Additional point. With the third pair of holy names, one adopts the character and behavior of a pure devotee and chants Krishna Krishna day and night with steadfastness, Nishta. Now the fourth pair of names is Hari Hari. This represents the causeless devotional service begins to awaken at this point. And one chants Hari Hari with great relish. In other words, at this point, this is like the fourth stage of development. One starts to chant with ruchi. You feel some taste for the holy name. This pair of names stimulates unalloyed bhakti within the heart and delivers a taste, which means ruchi. At this stage of ruchi, the sadhaka has no other prominent desire but to serve Krishna. The transcendental sentiments of such prayers as Shreya Kaivar Chandrika Vicharanam. So this Hare Hare represents, so quite loud, it represents this part of the first shloka, Shreya Kaivar Chandrika Vicharanam. In other words, it awakens auspiciousness in one's life, because it, when you have no other desire but to serve Krishna, then your life becomes completely auspicious. And this fourth Hare Hare represents Nadananda Janam Sundaram. The one bhajan that's mentioned in relation to this is in the purport. This is Kadayavi Valasedi Namaya. In other words, when one has eagerness or awakens ruchi for the name, then he's very much hankering for, you know, when will that day come when Shudanam will come, you know, chant the pure name. This taste is, because when one begins to taste the holy name, then his hankering more and more develops to experience Krishna, his form in the holy name, and his qualities and pastimes. The devotee who has on the level of bhava, the Jatavati Sadaka, when he chants Hare Hare with great affection, then Ramakrishna's midday pastimes at Radhakund awaken within his heart. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakura's telling. This is Madhyam Leela. Hare Hare. So Hare Hare, it represents, of course, Srimati Radharani is represented by Hare Hare. And Madhyam Kal, Radha and Krishna are meeting. They're meeting in Radhakund. So one can think that here this is the private seva place of Srimati Radharani. Radhakund is her personal. The whole of Brajadham is her kingdom. But within any kingdom there's the palace of the king. And within the palace of the king there are the private rooms of the king. Private quarters. So in Radharani's case, the entirety of Braj Mandal, the Dwadasavan, that is her queendom, I suppose. If we have kingdom, that's her queendom, her domain. And her particular palace is located in Barsan or Yavat. And her private quarters, her most private quarters within her palace, you could say, is Radhakund. Because only her most confidential associates will come here. And because even in a palace, say Barsana, for example, there's Radharani who's in charge over there, but still there's so many public rooms and reception rooms and storage rooms and entertainment rooms, and then there's her father's room and her mother's room and her brother's room, and she has her own room. But the most private area or the private place in all the kingdom of Vrindavan is Radhakund. So Hare Hare is Radhe Radhe. So this represents Ruchi. And of course Radhakund is so much taste, Rasoham Apsakanteya. Krishna says that I am the taste in water. So this Radhakund, this is Kund, being Radhakund, in Sanskrit, Kund is called Sara. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura makes this point. Sara, or Sara means lake, or Kund. So the two syllables, Sara, if you reverse them, Sara becomes Ra-Sa. So Rasa, in order to have, Rasa means taste. So this Hare Hare, which means Radhe Radhe, represents Madhyam Leela, it represents Radhakund, and Radhakund is full of water, and water is full of taste, and the pastimes of Radhakund are the tastiest of all the pastimes. And how is that so? Because at Radhakund, the same pastimes that Radha and Krishna enact in other places in Braj are also enacted here. There's Julan Leela here, there's Julan Leela in Barsana and other places. There's Holy Leela here, and there's Holy Leela in other places, such as Gedavan, Barsana, Sankarikur. There is Jalkeli in Jamuna, there's Jalkeli in Pavan Sarovara, there's Jalkeli in Prem Sarovara, but there's also Jalkeli in Radhakund. And there's rasa dancing in Govardhan and Chandrasovara and Punchari, and in Vrindavan in Rasastali, Deer Samir, Jamunapulin, Vamchivat. And there's also Rasalila on the banks of Radhakund. And in fact, the whole cause of the Radhakund manifesting was to create or to bring about a downpour of rasa in the heart of Srimati Radharani. Because prior to the appearance of Radhakund, which is connected with the annihilation of Aristasura Mardhan, there was the full moon night of the Sharad season, which we know was only a few days ago on the 17th. So on that particular night, Radha and Krishna and so many millions of gopis, it's told millions of gopis in some Purana, 2 million, Padma Purana says 2 million gopis, and extraordinary numbers of gopis. met over there in Vrindavan at Vamshivat. But Radharani wasn't very comfortable there, and she wasn't very happy there. And the taste of Ras in the Ras Leela was somewhat diluted. It was not concentrated, condensed, thick, rich, and sweet, and full of mellow. It was diluted because of the presence of many newcomers, Shruticharis, Devi Kanyas, Rishicharis, Sadhana Siddha Gopis, and an entire plethora of new introductions who had attained their opportunity to enter the Rasa dance and be with Krishna. So Radharani felt uncomfortable. So her exhilaration in Ras was somewhat reduced. And Krishna knew that because the aim and ambition of Krishna is to please Srimati Radharani. He has no other thought or feeling or mood than to make Radharani happy. And of course, Radharani has no other feeling or mood or thought than to make Krishna happy. So Krishna was thinking, we have this expression that Krishna says, Napariyeham. I am indebted. I cannot repay you. But Krishna attempted to repay Radharani. He said, I owe Radharani one very tasty rasa dance. Because she could not derive sufficient taste in a Maharas dance on the full moon night of the Sharad season. So Krishna chose a very beautiful place on the side of Govardhan Hill. This place, which was a nice clearing in the forest, and just on the side of Govardhan Hill in a beautiful valley. And so he came here in Ardha Pradosh, and he played his flute, and he called the gopis here for rasa dance. And as Vishnu Puran says, Ardha Pradosh, halfway through Pradosh Kal, then Aristasura showed up on the scene. The personification of irreligion came here disguised as a bull, which is the emblem of religion, the bull and the cow, the father and mother of Dharma. So Krishna had to vanquish that cheating religion and then enact the rasa dance. So then Radhakund, of course, is formed, and that celebration will have in a few days. And then so much Ras was experienced here, and even subsequently after that, they would have many rasa dances here at Radhakund. So there are also rasa dances in other places, but the rasa dance in Radhakund is full of more Ras. Sometimes they advertise products, more cleaning power per gram, or more power or something. So all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna that are enacted anywhere in Braj, when they're enacted here, they're much, much more Ras. Because of the absence of any opposing elements and the absence of any, there's no newcomers here. All the old timers come here. Or the intimates, the most intimate gopis are invited here with personal invitations. They all receive personal invitations with Krishna's, from Krishna's flute. So therefore the ruchi, the taste of the pastimes at Radhakund and Mandyan Kal is supreme, topmost. And the two words Hare Hare represent that ruchi, the ruchi of Radhakund, the ruchi of the pastimes of Radhakund, Madhyan, because Madhyan Kal is Radhakund. So this is the fourth pair of holy names. So the sadhaka has awakened Bhav. He will chant Hare Hare, which means Radhe Radhe, because here Radharani's triumphant. This is her place, and everything is done according to her desire, just perfectly. And this is the place of Radharani's jewel, and Radharani's holy, and Radharani's rasa, and everything is catered perfectly for her pleasure. Because the other rasa dance in Vamshivat and Chandrasarovara, Krishna is the center. But here, Radharani is the center. Because we circumambulate Radhakund and Shyamakund. But circumambulating means that Radhakund and Shyamakund are a mandala. They are Ras Mandala. This is Radharani's Ras Mandala. So it has Sham Ras is there and Radharas is there. And together it makes Radharas Sudha Nidhi. it's the Nidhi, the ocean. It generates an ocean of nectar of Radharas. So Radhakunda is very special. So our fourth pair of names will take us to Radhakunda, to Madhyankal. Fill us with it as a Ajatarati Saraka. The Hare Hare will give us a rich taste in bhakti and a rich taste for the holy name. And for the Baba Bhakta or Jatarati Saraka, he will, from this Hare Hare, Radhe Radhe, will manifest the pastimes of Radhakunda, which have a special ruchi for him. Obviously the ruchi, because there's different levels of ruchi, practically speaking, for until one comes to Bhava, he doesn't really experience ruchi. Although we have a level of devotion, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, but the level of ruchi that in terms of real spiritual taste, it's like ruchi abhas. It's a level of attainment. There's some ruchi, but it's minuscule compared to the ruchi of the Bhava Bhakta. The fifth pair of names is Hare Ram. While chanting Hare Ram, an Ajatarati Sadaka awakens Asakti for Nam Bhajan and begins to remember Radha Krishna's pastimes. So now you can see the distinction is diminishing between the Ajatarati Sadaka and Ajatarati Sadaka. The distinction between the devotee with Bhava and a devotee without Bhava. Because asakti attachment is right before Bhava. So now their qualities, they start to become similar, because pretty soon the Ajata Rati Sadaka will be Jata Rati Sadaka. So as the Bhava Bhakta or the Jata Rati Sadaka is meditating on various pastimes in the different pairs of mantras, then the sadhaka will also at this stage, Hare Ram, he will awaken attachment for Nam and begin to remember Radha and Krishna's pastimes. As his attachment to Krishna increases, the sadhaka cultivating the concept that he is a servant of Krishna, Nanda Nandan, he cultivates that concept. And he prays intensely to realize his true identity as an eternal servant of Krishna. At this level of attachment, at this level, both attachment for bhajan and bhajaniya, which means the object of bhajan, rather than Krishna, is especially awakened. By chanting Hare Krishna mantra with attachment, one realizes without a doubt that the holy name is the life of all transcendental knowledge, Vidya Vadu Jivanam. At this time, the mood of the prayer, Ai Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram, Kinkari Bhav, Mandri Bhav, at this time, at the level of chanting Hari Ram, at the level of Asakti, the mood of the prayer, that mood, Son of Nanda Nandan, and son of Nandaraj, Nanda Nandan, I am your eternal servant, appears in the heart of the sadhaka. By continuing to chant Hari Nam, the devotee gets the mercy of Nam, and then Shuddha Nam, or pure Nam, or Shuddha Sattva, begins to manifest, along with the symptoms of Bhav begin to appear in his heart. So it becomes an overlapping at the level of asakti at the beginning, and at the end of the level of asakti, then he starts to enter. There's an overlapping with asakti and bhav. And there's a further footnote that we have here. With the fifth pair of names, one's Hari Ram, one's taste for chanting, which was awakened with Hare Hare, increases, and one attains an attitude. One attains an attitude of pure servitude. As one chants Hari Ram, one should begin the practice of Smaran. So, which Swami means you begin to remember the pastimes, or rather, the pastimes of Krishna begin to appear within the mind so that you can remember them. And they start to stick with you at this level of asakti, which is the fifth pair, Hari Ram. The Jatirati Sadaka, who is, of course, already on the level of Bhav, when he chants Hari Ram, within this Hari Ram, he'll remember Radha and Krishna's pastimes of meeting after Krishna returns from cowherding. This is called Aparan Leela. This is 3:36 to 6 p.m. So Hari Ram represents Aparan Leela. Then the Brajagopis, they go to Nanda Bhavan, sometimes, at least, and some gopis do. And they see Krishna's bathing and dressing and help Rohini cook various preparations for Krishna. Some of the sakis and manjaris. And sometimes in the summertime, they will go to Pavan Sarovar, on one end of Pavan Sarovar. The ladies' bathing ghat is on one end of Pavan Sarovar. On the other end of Pavan Sarovar is the men's bathing ghat. Balak, Gwal and Balak. The cowherd men and the cowherd boys. And everyone knows there's so many sweet pastimes that go on there. Hare Krishna. So this is the Jatirati Sadaka. And the second pair, Prajadam. Who's? What? Let's see what happens. This is Braj, it's never a dull moment. The lady selling the fruits may be your Shikshu Guru. She may, you don't know, she can teach. Everyone has it. In Braj, the potential is unlimited. The potential for destruction is unlimited, and the potential for construction is unlimited. If we make a fence, we go down instantly. If we play it right, then we construct a very beautiful house of bhakti in which we can live in safely and make some serious progress in devotional surrender. The sixth pair of holy names, which is Hari Ram, the second Hari Ram. While tasting this sixth pair of holy names, a natural aversion for anything which is unrelated to Krishna manifests. One is chanting a holy name. One chants a holy name with complete dedication to Krishna, his heart melting and becomes soft. Entering the stage of bhava, the sadhaka manifests the external symptoms of perfection, which are the sattvic bhavas, tears and hair standing at end. He experiences bodily transformations, asta sattvic bhavas, due to the blossoming of ecstatic love. Externally, he displays tears, ashu, choked voice, and standing up of bodily hairs. While chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with bhav, the ocean of transcendental bliss expands. So this sixth pair represents Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. Because it sounds like that. Vardhanam, the increasing ocean of bliss. So Hari Ram will submerge us into an ocean of bliss, because we, at this point, the Ajata Rati Sadaka becomes Ajata. He becomes a Jata Rati Sadaka. Jata means Janma, Rati means Bhav. Bhav has taken birth at this level. And at this level, the devotee, he becomes a Jata Rati Sadaka. And prayers like Nayanam Bhavadashudariya arise in the devotee's heart. In other words, these things are happening, you know, the tears are coming, and he's also praying I'm experiencing something, because entering Bhava is a vast area of devotional attainment. The beginning of Bhava, there's some glimmer, there's some sattvic bhavas are coming, and some faint idea of one's sarup, but at the end of bhava, then there's a full manifestation of the sarup. I mean, the ekadash bhava, everything, 11 symptoms So it, bhava has a, there are gradations within bhava. As we, everything we experience in bhakti has different gradations. Three classes of devotees and classes within those classes, subdivisions like this. So, the Jatarati Sadaka, who is, this is, both are becoming the same now, he will chant one who's already awakened bhava, who's fully awakened bhava, and the fullest level of bhava. He will chant Hare Ram and remember Radhika's Tibait upon receiving the remnants of Krishna's evening meal from Dhanishta. Afterwards, Radha learns of the meeting place, the Sanket Kunj, where she will later enjoy with Shamsundar. So this represents Shayan Leela, which is six o'clock in the evening until 8:36 in the evening. So at this time, Krishna has his meal. Remnants are sent to Yavat or Barsana. Radharani takes them. She finds out the meeting place and so many clever ways there that the acharyas explain how they communicate. Sometimes there are love notes and their messages sent to one another, and sometimes they communicate with finger movements or eye movements, or then they have a whole, just as in among the deaf and dumb class of people, they have what they call sign language. They go like this and like this and and this. They have a whole, in fact, they have a whole alphabet. And I remember one devotee, Rohini Kumar, I don't know if Prabhu or Swami or whatever, our god brother, the old devotee from New York, Rohini Kumar. He learned sign language when he was in Berkeley in 81, and he made a movie with Tatiksha Kurunika as a musician. He made the movie, and he was putting the Bhagavad Gita in sign language, being filmed, and he was telling the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita on the film. Because there was a famous deaf and dumb school in Berkeley. It's called the Berkeley School for Deaf and Dumb. So it's all around America, people go there. So, as usual, everything begins in the spiritual world. Not deaf and dumb. Well, of course, Krishna becomes dumb sometimes when Radharani sends her sidelong glances at Krishna. He becomes dumbfounded. But he's not deaf and dumb. But the idea of sign language, Radha and Krishna have all kinds of sign languages. So when Krishna is in Nandagaon and he's taking his evening meal, and Dhanishtha may be serving, or some other sakis or manjaris may be there, they've been coming back with Radharani, and they'll go directly to Nandagaon and assist in Krishna's, serving Krishna's evening meal. And they know the sign language, the Prem, Rasa Prem sign language, or Madhurya Prem sign language. So Krishna, he'll be eating like this, and he will put his hand on the floor, his left hand, and if he goes like that, if he spreads his fingers like that, it means, I want to meet, tell, that means a particular kunja. This means, 20 meters before Keshi Ghat, northeast of the Tamal tree, there's a beautiful Malati Kunj, and that's the one, Kunj number 72 or whatever. So he'll go like that, and then when the Saki, when the Manjari is walking by, she'll be serving. She'll take some more, and then Krishna, she'll see the hand, and she'll go, and she'll look at Krishna, like this. And nobody knows what's going on except that Manjari and Krishna. And then Krishna will go like this, and make his hand like this. And that means, by Puncheri and Rasastali, there's a very beautiful Kadamba grove, and I want to meet Radharani there. In the evening, it's called Sankhik, a pointed kunj, or signaling, a pointed place. So like this, this is their sign language. So that's what the Jatarati Sadaka, he'll be chanting Hari Ram, the second Hari Ram, and all these type of pastimes of this Shayan Kal, or Shayan Leela, will come in his mind. And that's why they're saying, Bhaktivinoda is saying that he will learn of the meeting place, and later, where Radharani will later enjoy with Shyam. And I have a small footnote, because I found some other information about some of these things. Chanting Hari Ram, as one chants Hari Ram, one experiences the beginnings of divine ecstasy. This is the sprout of Bhav. One loses all taste for material life and offers one's very self to Krishna for his pleasure. This second Hari Ram, which is the sixth stage, will bring this type of experience for the Nam Sadaka. It's doing Nam Bhajan. The seventh pair of names, Ram, Ram, Rama, Rama. Rising to the stage of Prem, the Sadaka experiences the internal symptoms of perfection as he chants Ram, Ram. We heard in this description of Hari Ram, that's the sixth stage, he experiences the external symptoms, tears, shivering, hair standing on end. Now he starts to experience the internal symptoms as he chants Ram, Ram. Now he realizes the mood of separation, Vipralamba Bhav, or Vipralamba Prem, and he tastes nectar at every step. So this seventh pair of names, Ram, Ram, is Prem, but it's Vipralamba Prem, and tasting nectar at every step is Pratipadam Purna Amrita Swadanam. Purna Amrit, complete nectar, Swadanam, he tastes Pratipadam, step after step. He will sing prayers like Lord Chaitanya's Yugayutam Nameshena. So now there's no distinction, there's no Ajatarati, there's only, well, there's some distinction, there's the devotee that's fully developed in Bhav. He's the Jatarati Sadaka, and there's the newly the devotee that's just entered the threshold of Bhav. So now there's only one category. We will recite prayers like this, Yugayutam Nameshena. A Nam Sadaka who happens to be in the Sthayi Bhav, a Madhurya Ras, will now attain Paryadasi Bhav, the mood of being, of the transcendental sentiment of being one of Srimati Radharani's protected maidservants, Paryadasi, whose hearts are one with Radha's heart. In other words, at this stage the Sadaka will realize his Siddha Deha, spiritual body, as a gopi, specifically Nityasakhi or Manjari, along with the 11 attributes, Ekadash Bhav, of his transcendental form. Overwhelmed by the mood of separation, Vipralamba Ras, the Sadaka will chant the Hare Krishna mantra, feeling himself to be wretched, fallen, and completely devoid of devotion. At this time you may attain an internal vision, spurti, of Radha and Krishna, eagerly searching. The sadaka, at this level, chanting Ram Ram, and feeling so wretched and feeling great separation, he will attain a vision of Radha and Krishna eagerly searching for each other along the bank of the Yamuna. In other words, because Ram Ram is Radharani calling out for Krishna, Ram Ram. Right, where's my Ram? My Ramana, my Raman. Raman means my lover. And Krishna will be calling out, Ramani, Ramani. Is also Ram, Ram, but Ramani, where is my beloved? So they're both in separation, they're both feeling Vipralamba, they're both eagerly searching for each other. And now the Ajatarati Sadaka is a Jatarati Sadaka. At this level he will automatically and effortlessly meditate upon the Astakali Leela of Radha Govinda Yugal, especially Pradosh Leela, which is 824 to 1048. It's interesting. We should understand this is the seventh pair of names, Ram, Ram. All these secrets and all these attainments and experiences are packed inside of this pair of names. So at this level of Bhava, the devotee, the sadhaka, he will, this is when spurti may come, internal vision. And unfortunately, we find nowadays in our society, not in our society, let's say this kind, but let's say in the society of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, oftentimes we meet a lot of devotees who say, "Oh Prabhu, I had this vision of Radha and Krishna. I had this realization of Radha and Krishna." You know, the person's eating some pizza and ice cream and, you know, and they haven't never, you know, didn't chant any japa. Never. It's like they don't really have any standing even in any kind of regulated sankhya, bhakti or anything. And they're freely conversing as if it's a very easy thing, that I had this realization about Radha and Krishna. I had this vision. Because this same question was asked to one guru, and the disciple was saying, "Gurudev, what should we make of this when we hear this from our god sisters or god brothers?" And the guru started laughing. his first reply was, "Yes, they want to eat fruits without even planting a seed." They want to, you know, oh no, he said, "Oh really, they're eating fruits without planting a seed." So the seed is bhakti lata. And to plant it is not an easy thing, and to develop it is not an easy thing. And then the fruits of that seed of the bhakti lata are bhava and prem fall. So here, our Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that spurti comes, that visions, internal visions of Radha and Krishna, they may come in a fleeting way. One will become qualified for receiving a real, true, honest vision of a piece of, a small part of a lila or Radha and Krishna in a particular place. At the beginning of bhava, that's called spurti. Then there's something called vispurti. There's something called sakshat darshan. So these are not easy things. There must be an incredible background of devotional practice and an incredible foundation of purity of heart. I mean, jeto darpana marjanam. Vispurti comes at the high end of bhav, when one is extremely advanced in devotional service. And vispurti, basically, it's like this. There's smaran, and there's five. There's smaran, spurti, visporti, and sakshat darshan. So, at the level of visporti, he has an internal vision. It's almost as if he feels that he's touching. He's actually seeing directly. So he can almost touch Radha and Krishna. And then when he attempts to touch them, or say touch their feet, then they slip away from him. And it's a very deep and vivid experience within the heart, and very real. They're coming down to the Bhava Bhakta to reveal this. And then the level of Saksha Darshan, they're right there. There's not only singing at the level of Saksha Darshan, but there's also smelling the fragrance of the body of Radha and Krishna. And other senses, that's Vishnu Chakravarti is describing that. All the senses become the sense of smell, and one perceives the body of the Lord and swoons in ecstasy. And all the senses become the sense of touch, and it's described there in Madhurya Kandambini. So this is going on. So as a small side point, we should be a little alert to easily accept someone's visions. Someone has just put on their baby shoes, and they're saying, "Oh, Prabhu, I had these realizations of Radha and Krishna." I say, "Oh, that's very nice, very good. Keep chanting." but don't fall for it that they're eating fruits. I mean, because it's not possible to eat fruits without planting a seed. It's a very nice analogy. So the eighth pair of holy names is Hare Hare. While chanting Hare Hare, the Jatarati Sadhaka, the one who has Bhava has descended and manifested within his heart, He engages in Sambhog Prem Bhajan. This is the technical term that Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sambhog means enjoying together or enjoying completely. It means many things, but it's loving pastimes where Radha and Krishna are together. Sambhog Prem Bhajan. Absorbed in Gopi Bhav, in his sarup, as a Manjari maidservant of Srimati Radharani, the sadhaka performs sweet prema seva of Radha Govinda Yugal in Brajadam throughout the eight divisions of the day and night, Astakalya. Chanting Hare Hare, the sadhaka remembers the Sambhog Leelas of Radha Govinda, that means the pastimes of meeting, jewelin, dancing, madhupan, drinking honey liquor, pashakela, gambling, etc. The pastimes wherein the confidential, such as where the confidential mandris of Srimati Radharani massage the divine couple's lotus feet after the rasa dance, and fanning them, offering betel nuts and aromatic refreshments and drinks. And this chanting of Hari Hari will take one into the pastimes of, it's called Nisha Leela, or Bhaktivinoda uses the term Ratri Leela, 10:48 p.m. to 3:36 a.m. At this stage of Prem, Sambhog Prem, the sadhaka is totally dependent on Krishna. He has a type of Nishta which is called Aikantika Nishta. He absorbs in his heart in prayers like Ashlishyava Padratam Panashtamam. At this level of spiritual attainment, the Jivatma is completely purified in heart, mind, and body and deeds. So at this level of Prem, at the level of chanting the eighth pair of names, Hari Hari, one is totally cleansed. Completely cleansed, so much cleansed that he sees all of the 11 aspects of his sarup. He sees himself as he really is. Just like in a mirror, if you look at the mirror, it's a body, it's a full-length mirror. Say you're 6 feet tall, and it's a six feet high mirror covered with dust. So if you take a piece of cloth and you wipe the bottom portion of the mirror and you look in the mirror, you'll see your feet. Right, and if you wipe a little bit up, you go up the mirror and wipe off the dust, then you'll see your legs, and you wipe a little more, and you'll see your stomach, chest, and if you wipe if the whole mirror is wiped up, removed, cleansed of the dust, then you'll see from head to foot. So this is what happens: is as one enters a sakti, the shape of Chit-Darpan, the mirror of the heart, becomes cleansed. The bottom portion of the mirror, the dust is removed, and one begins to see, I have feet. I have spiritual feet. And then, as he goes up from Sakti to Bhava, to this level of Sambhog Prema, Hari Hari, then the entire mirror is cleaned, is fully cleansed, and one sees himself as he really is, or what she really is. So this is what is being, and so this is equivalent to the line, to the seventh treasure of the holy, this is the seventh gift or treasure of the holy name mentioned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the first shloka of Shikshastakam, which is the phrase Sarvatma Snapanam. So this Hare Hare, the eighth pair of holy names, represents Sarvatma Snapanam. Because sarva atma snapanam, that your entire atma, which means is totally cleansed, and then when the mirror is totally cleansed, you can see your head and arms and everything. So this is Bhaktivinoda's, Wilson, what is it, whatever they call that, when they look at the stars, you know, that big periscope, telescope, what do you look at the stars with? Telescope, is that what it's called? I mean, in other words, his telescopic vision, sitting in his bhajan kutir in Godrum, And his vision, he's seeing all this going on in the spiritual world and bringing it down to all of us. So, that's basically the this is the commentary on the sixth verse of the Bhajanahasyam, and the first on before we it's the introduction to Chaitodhapana Marjanam. And this one, I have one footnote here. With the eighth pair of holy names, Hari Hari, one becomes fixed in his identity as a Brajagopi, and attains the ultimate goal of the loving service of Radha and Krishna throughout the eight periods of the day. Hare Hare. So this is the discussion of the eight pairs of holy names. All this is in the summary of what's in the book. So next discussion we'll actually begin now with verse 11. But before we begin with that, which is on page 28, because now he's introduced the Yuganam, and he's introduced this concept of mamata and the mood of hankering. So these are some of a review of some of the concepts of bhajan that Bhaktivinoda has given us so far. Now, keeping aids to bhajan in our bhajan manual. Now he's going to begin his commentary on the Shikshastakam of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by, I can say, embellishing on these different aspects of the Yuganam, the Astakali Leela, the nine steps of devotion from Ado Shraddhata Sarasanga, and the Shikshastakam, the eight prayers of Shikshastakam. He's going to blend all these things together, and we're going to try. So basically, this book is the sequel to Harinam Chintamani, and it's the expansion. In other words, you can say that the Shikshastakam, of course, has everything, Sambandha Avideya Prayojana. But how to enter deeply into the understanding of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Shikshastakam and apply those teachings in our daily bhajan. This is the gift of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we're going to enter again another introductory section, reading some points. This will be an introduction to the Shikshastakam. Because sometimes we find in the assembly of Vaishnavas that some devotees don't even know the Shikshastakam. It sounds maybe funny, but because many devotees, especially nowadays, a majority of our devotees, say, don't live in temples, because many devotees are there now, which is good. But they're grihasthas, or they live independently, separately from temples, and they don't have a regular program of every day in unison reciting Chaitodhapana Marjanam, so they don't have the opportunity afforded to them to easily memorize by constant repetition. They have to, on their own endeavor and initiative, they have to, before they go to work, they have to sit down and chant Chaitodhapana Marjanam and diligently and dutifully try to memorize it. And with the pressure of family, house, and business, they tend to minimize all these things and do the bare minimum of the 16 rounds a day that they promised their guru to chant, as you probably all preachers will know. So we have to be lenient on such devotees because they're hard pressed to do their domestic duties. However, this discussion, we will understand that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has dedicated this rather large book to explaining the Shikshastakam, and the Goswamis and the followers of Lord Chaitanya, practically speaking, all of their books are simply expansions, are either books the books of the Goswamis and the Acharyas are expansions of the Leela Vichara, Leela Tattva of Shikshastakam, or they're expansions of the Tattva Siddhanta of Shikshastakam. Because there's Shikshastakam is full of tattva and full of leela. So some of the Goswamis are studying Shikshastakam, and from the Shikshastakam they got inspirations to write things like Vidagdha Madhav or Lita Madhav, which are expansions of the leelas contained in Shikshastakam. And other acharyas will write books on tattva based on Shikshastakam, like Madhurya Kadambani and others. So Shikshastakam is the basis of everything in Krishna consciousness. My friends from Delhi. So this is the introduction to Shikshastakam. So I'm going to read this with everyone's permission. 500 years ago, Radha Govinda Yuga appeared in this world as the combined avatar of divine love, known as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Sri Krishna assumed a very special golden form for three reasons, which are described by Krishna's Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 1, verse 6. Shri Radhaya Pranayab Mahima Kidrisho Vanayeva Swadyo Yinadbhuta Madima Madurima Kidrishuva Madhya Sokyam Chasya Mad Anubhavata Kidrisham Veti Lomat Tadbhavadya Samajani Shachigarbha Sindhu Harindu. The translation. Desiring to understand the greatness of the transcendental love of Srimati Radhika, who is the personification of the internal potency, Sarup Shakti, and to understand what is the wonderful and extraordinary sweetness of Sri Krishna, which Radhika tastes through her love, and to understand the incredible happiness Radha experiences when she tastes the sweetness of Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna, desiring to fulfill these three inner longings, assumed the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's a translation of the prayer. After Lord Gauranga took sannyas, he traveled South India, and he came to Braj, Sridhar Vrindavan. He distributed prem all over India, even to lions, tigers, elephants, vines, trees, in the Jarikan forest. And then, during his last 18 years on this planet, he stayed in Jagannath Puri, absorbed in the internal reasons for his descent, to taste the love of Radha. He had no time to write books, but he left only 8 verses to teach prem to the world. Sri Chaitanya's Shikshastakam, 8 verses, are the essence of all teachings of Gaudiya Vedanta. They are like a necklace with 8 pearls. Sometimes a Shikshastakam is described as a Prema Samput, a locket full of jewels. There's one book written by Vishwanath. It's a Vishwanath Prema Samput. So this actually, for hundreds of years, many acharyas were referring to Shikshastakam as Prem Samput, a locket full of jewels. And this is a quotation from Srila Prabhupada's beloved Gurudev, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Swami, who our Gurudev had so much love for and so much regard for. The intense loving friendship for most of later part of his life, middle life and later part of his life. And Prabhupada once said that Sridhar Swami was his Shiksha Guru. Of course, Sridhar Swami was a Shiksha Guru for so many of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples. But he made a very beautiful statement in this regard. For the last 12 years of his manifest Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was deeply immersed in the mood of union and separation. A And he shared his inner feelings with his most confidential devotees, Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar. In the agony of separation from Krishna, volcanic eruptions of ecstasy flowed from Mahaprabhu's heart, and his teachings, known as Shikshastakam, appeared from his lips like streams of golden lava. This is from Golden Volcano of Divine Love. So, it's a very poetic and metaphorical description that Lord Chaitanya is the golden volcano of divine love, and lava is the substance that spews forth from volcanoes, and usually it's some black burned cinders coming out of the belly of Mother Earth, lava. But this is he's saying volcanic eruptions of ecstasy, not coming from the belly of Mother Earth, but coming from Mahaprabhu's heart. And what are these volcanic, in other words, what is the Shikshastakam? In the eyes of this Siddha Mahatma, in the eyes of Sridhar Swami, the Shikshastakam, these eight prayers of Lord Chaitanya, are volcanic eruptions of ecstasy flowing from Lord Chaitanya's heart. He's the golden volcano of Prem. So when one is in love of God, then various ecstasies he will feel within his mind and heart, and they will race throughout his body and create transformations in his senses and his mind, and sometimes even deformation of his body due to the intensities of these reverberations and waves of ecstatic feelings generated from his intense loving relationship with Krishna. So in Lord Chaitanya's case, he's a golden volcano. And so the Shikshastakam is erupting from his lips. Chito Dharpana Marjanam, Nadharama Janam Nasandarim, right? Ayinanda Tanachakintgaram, volcanic eruptions of ecstasy flowing from his heart. This is the Shikshastakam. So this is some description of the content of Shikshastakam. Shikshastakam contains the essence of the Vedas and is filled with all the conclusions of bhakti. In other words, the Shikshastakam is full of bhakti siddhanta. Ultimately concealed within the verses of Chaitanya Shikshastakam is the Madanaikya Mahabhav, which is situated in the heart of the Prem Avatari Sri Sachinandan Gaurahari. Because in the heart of Gaurahari, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's in Radhabhav, trying to relish this intensity of Radharani's Mahabhav, this Madanaikya Mahabhav, which is this highest, most intense expression of feelings, Mahabhav, great love, extraordinary Prem, this is contained in the verses, especially in the later verses, it's fully exposed in the later verses of Shikshastakam, Ashlishiva Padavatam Panashtamam. In the Shikshastakam, the shlokas 1 through 5 describes the process of sadhana bhakti, abhideya tattva, cheto dharpana, in other words, the verses cheto dharpana marjanam, nam namakari bahuda, chinarapis nichina, Nadanama Janam and Ayi Nanda Tanaja. These five verses describe the process of sadhana bhakti, which is Abhideya Tattva. There's Sambandha Tattva, Abhideya Tattva, Prayojana Tattva. The shloka number 6, Nayanam Garudashudarya, describes the level of bhava. Shloka 7 and 8, Yudayutam Nameshena, describes prema bhakti, which is the sadhya, the goal, Prayojana Tattva, Yudayitam Nimeshena, and Shlishiva Parvatam Panashtamam. These last two verses of the Shikshastakam, in particular, they describe Radhika's deep emotional anguish due to love and separation, Vipralamba, and Prem Sambhog. So this is now I've summarized the contents of the eight verses of Shikshastakam. It's kind of a little bit more like summary. So this is the first verse, Chaitadharpana Marjanam. Sadhana in the form of Sri Krishna Sankirtan is described in a general way. And this first verse, Chaitodarpanam Marjanam, glorifies seven wonderful qualities or benefits, or as one acharya says, seven treasures. There are seven treasures, secret, not secret so much, but seven invaluable treasures which are contained in the holy name of Krishna. And these seven treasures are described in the first verse of Shikshastakam, Chaitodarpanam Marjanam. So one who chants the Hare Krishna mantra will open these treasure boxes, these seven treasure boxes, and he will receive these seven wonderful treasures, which will be described. The second verse of Shikshastakam, awareness of one's incompetence to execute this best form of sadhana. The first verse describes how, in this age of Kali, the best form of sadhana is Harinam Sankirtan. Brahm Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, right? Chaitodarpanam Marjanam. That's the last line, Chaitodarpanam Marjanam. Brahm Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is the easiest process. It's simple, it's sublime, it's most powerful. And then the second verse, so that's the positive side. Oh, it's wonderful, it's a great process, it's easy, anyone can chant. A child can chant, anyone can chant. And now the second verse of Shikshastakam, it kind of goes to the negative quarter, because then one feels, oh, it's such a glorious process, and it's so easy. But I have no taste, non anuragi. Right? We say, nam nam akari bahuda anijasa, and it's further glorification, but look at me, I'm so durdevam. I'm durdevam nidrishami hajani nara, I'm durdeva. I'm durjana. I'm bad man. I'm very bad. The process is very good. That's the first shloka. The process is so good. Harinam Sankirtan is such a wonderful process. And then the second verse is, but I'm so bad. So it's positive and then negative. And then there must be a synthesis or a solution. Then the third verse teaches us how to do this process. The third verse, what is the third verse? Trinadapi Sunichena Turoimas. This teaches us the method for performing the sadhana of this glorious yoga practice. How to chant the holy name. The process is so great and there's so many potencies there, but I have no attachment. I have no attachment. I'm Duradevam. Non-anuragi. I have no attachment, no attraction. I don't like to chant. I have no... It's boring. It's monotonous. It's over and again. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. Even though it's so great. Now, what hope is there for me? Well, how do you do this? How do you chant? Well, you must manifest these four qualities. You must pray for these four qualities to come into your heart. You must associate with Vaishnavas and have these four qualities. Trinadapi Sunichena. So the third verse teaches the method for performing sadhana of chanting Hare Krishna. The third verse. The fourth verse, Madanana Janana Sundaram, this describes the necessity of eliminating unfavorable desires and deceit in the form of the aspiration for moksha in order to perform nam-sadhana. So, in one sense, the fourth verse gives further pointers how to chant or how to perform the sadhana of nam-bhajan or how to properly chant the holy name. Nadana Najana Masundram. These are woman, wealth, position, and even the desire, I want peace. I want to be peaceful. I'm chanting Hare Krishna because I want to be peaceful. Or I'm suffering. I want out. I want release. I'm a salvationist. I want to go to the spiritual sky. I don't like this material world. It's a bad place and there's so much klesha and suffering and all these things and war and I want out. I want liberation. Even, this is a type of deceit. This is a type of kutinati. This is deceit. So even these subtleties which seem to be masquerading or disguising themselves as truly virtuous spiritual desires. Oh, this person wants liberation. He doesn't want to be part of the rat race. He doesn't want to live in the material world. Oh, he's a good man. He's a good spiritualist. But Lord Chaitanya is cutting him down at the root. He's saying, Nadana and Janam, I don't want wealth, women, followers. I'm not attracted to the flowery, by the flowery words, swargamukti, or, and I don't want liberation. Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwari Bhavatat Bhakti Ahoitik. I don't want anything. I don't even want liberation. I don't care if I take birth after birth after birth. I'm born in Delhi, and I die, and let me take another birth in Delhi, and another, another. It doesn't matter. All I want is what Krishna wants. What does Krishna want? Pure bhakti. He wants pure love. Our pure love. It's called ahoitaki bhakti. Ahoitaki means there's no business involved. There's no, your benefit is ahoitaki, ahetu, without your benefit. Ahoitaki means benefit. You're not calculating your benefit in the relationship. You're not saying, well, Krishna, I'll chant your name if you give me liberation and free me from my suffering. I'll serve you and chant your name. That's called hoituki bhakti. Hetu. Hetu means benefit. That's bhakti with benefit. Whose benefit? My benefit. So this is not really bhakti. This is bhukti. This is sense gratification. So he says ahoituki bhakti. I only twayi. Twayi means twam. Means your. I want this. This is represented by the fourth. So now things are getting, they're tightening the screws, as they say. Now the sadhana, Lord Chaitanya, and the third verse, it's become humble, Trinada Bhishnichayam, become tolerant. Okay, I'll be a little humble. But now it's getting tighter. It's getting more demands. Your sadhana, now Lord Chaitanya is making more demands on your sadhana. First thing he's telling you, four principles in verse three. These four things you must, qualities you must have, prideless, free from pride, manadena, respecting others. Now he tightens it down in the fourth verse. And, oh, by the way, and no, don't desire liberation. don't ask for liberation. Be ready to take another birth. What, another birth in Delhi? Another birth in Sydney, or whatever. Another birth in New York. I'm from New York. Or Brooklyn, Bedford Stuy. Go for it, man. Be born in Second Avenue. Start the Sankirtan movement when you're 3 years old. There'll be plenty of New Yorkers that need the High Mount Sankirtan. No, don't worry. Now the fifth verse. The fifth verse. What is the fifth verse? Ainanda tanaja kinkaram patitam bam shameva bambudo. In the fifth verse, this reveals knowledge of the jiva's original spiritual identity. And if you want to be technical, that's called, because we're getting technical these days, Swarup Gyan. Swarup Gyan. It's quite easy technology. Swa, my own, rupam, form, gyan, knowledge. Knowledge, Swarup Gyan. So the fifth verse reveals knowledge of the jiva's original spiritual identity. Sixth verse, Nayanam Galadashtra Dalaya. This describes how one, this verse describes, Lord Chaitanya is describing, how one obtains good fortune by coming closer to Krishna, by awakening bhava towards the Lord. So, when one rises to the level of bhava, then so much good fortune, because so much happiness will swell up within his heart, and so much peace will ride through his mind, and his heart will feel greatly overjoyed. And at this stage, there may be tears in the eyes, hair standing on end, and choked voice. And this is described in the sixth verse. This is good fortune by coming closer to Krishna. The seventh verse, Yugayutam Dhanashrina, this describes the mood of separation, Vipralamba, in Krishna Prema. Actually, this verse, Yudayutam Dhanashrina, this is a symptom of Mahabhav. Because in Mahabhav, we have Sneha, Man, Pranaya, Rag, Anurag, Bhav, Mahabhav, Modan Bhav, Madan Bhav, like this, Madanakya Bhav, very many degrees of transcendental spiritual love. So at this level, a level of Radharani, especially Radharani and the gopis and their loving relationships with Krishna, when they're with Krishna, when they're with Krishna dancing in the Rasa dance, which the Maharasa dance Krishna extended for millions and millions of years, literally, he extended it for the night of Brahma, the gopis Because of Mahabhav, and especially Radharani, she felt that that million years was going by in a... It was going by in a second. Although it was such a fantastic length of time. So when one is with Krishna for a long time, it feels like nothing. And when one is separated from Krishna, this is a symptom of Mahabhav, when one is separated from Krishna, he feels that a moment of separation, a moment, what kind of moment? The moment that it takes to blink the eyes, which is 1/60th of a second or something, hardly anything. The time it takes to blink the eyes, which is insignificant, that amount of time, that moment of separation where I cannot see my beloved Sri Krishna for one split second, it feels, I feel like I haven't seen Krishna for one yuga, or one millennium, which is about 4 million years. So this is the seventh verse of Shikshastakam. Describes the mood of separation, Bipralamba and Prem. The eighth verse describes the perfection of Prem, Sambhog, Radha and Krishna enjoying together. This is the goal of pure love of God, wherein one completely surrenders to the pleasure of Krishna. So in the eighth prayer, Shlishiva Parvatam Panashtanam, it represents that stage where the devotee completely surrenders to the pleasure of Krishna. And there's so many beautiful verses in Antilila chapter 20 where Radharani is indicating the extent of her surrender and how much she is absorbed in the pleasure of Krishna, which we'll, I don't know if we'll get to that this year. But one of those prayers Radharani's telling, she says, she's saying, it's incomprehensible, such a state of mind and heart. But Radharani is saying there, which is her own, Radharani is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radharani, in the mood of Madanakya Mahabhav. He recites this prayer, Ashlishyavam Parvatam Parashtramam. And then he, which means Radharani, in the mood of Radharani, starts explaining the verse, what this means, what this sambhog, what this Mahabhav means. And she says, Srimati Radharani says, My only happiness is in the happiness of Krishna. And if Krishna finds happiness in making me unhappy, then that unhappiness which I experience will be the source of my greatest happiness. It may be a little confusing to follow, but you can read it, the English and Bengali, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In essence, what Radharani is saying is that if Krishna, if he finds joy and pleasure, he takes pleasure and finds happiness in making me unhappy. How does he do that? He does that by denying me an opportunity to serve him. But he's only, actually there's something greater and deeper going on. But I'm supposed to meet him in a particular kunja in the evening. But he doesn't come there. He goes to some other sakhi to enjoy with her, or to serve her and receive her services. So I feel unhappy because I can't serve him and make him and please him with my services. But if that makes him happy, and that I'm unhappy, then I accept that unhappiness as the greatest source of my happiness. There's no envy, there's no anger, there's no grudging. It's inconceivable. It's such a state of love. Everything for the beloved, and nothing for me, no concern for me. And to such an extent, that's one level. But then, okay, let my beloved have everything. I mean, my beloved wants to put me down and make me break my heart and make me unhappy. Oh, wonderful. Oh, he's making me unhappy and he's crushing my heart. Oh, but that makes him happy? This is making him happy? Oh, very good. Then this makes me happy. If this type of activity or this type of dealing, if this gives you happiness, okay, great. If you find happiness slapping, it's kind of a gross analogy, but for example, if you say, it will give me great pleasure to smash you in the face. So I say, great. Start slapping me in the face, pop, 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 pop. And I'm getting welts on my face and sore and pain and going, And then and the person who's laughing, he's laughing. Oh, this is great fun. And I say, oh, this is great. I mean, it's rather not really appropriate because it's not anything like pain or anything. But it's, we can hardly even approach the tip of such a concept. That's why it's inconceivable, because we don't have any experience or any example of that in the material world, because this is totally alokic bhav. These are totally transcendental expressions. But this is what is represented in the 8th shloka of the Shikshastakam. After speaking these verses, because these verses are spoken directly, the Shikshastakam and the ensuing commentary on these verses, sometimes a few verses and sometimes a lot, is spoken directly by Mahaprabhu. And Krishna's Kaviraj, he offers the benediction of Phal Shruti at the end of these prayers. He says, Prabhura Shikshastaka Shloka Jai Parashudi Krishna Prema Bhakti Tara Bhare Dine Dine. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is telling an Antilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita that if anyone recites or hears these 8 verses of instruction by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his ecstatic love and devotion for Krishna will increase dine dine, day by day. So this is a very beautiful blessing, a fruit, Phal Shruti, a fruit of hearing, a benefit of hearing and chanting these verses of Shikshastakam. On Srila Prabhupada, he introduced the chanting of these verses every day as part of our sadhana before chanting the holy name. Sometimes we become somewhat remiss or we forgetful in the chanting of these verses, but hopefully by studying the Bhajan Rahasyam, we will understand how much important instructions are contained there, and how it opens, the Shikshastakam will open whole new insight into the practice of Nam-Bhajan and bring us to a real appreciation, because this is the gift of our founder of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the whole basis of his teachings from beginning to end is a Shikshastakam. Everything is there. There's one Acharya, he said that Lord Gauranga is our Bhajan Shiksha Guru, because this is Shikshastakam. Shiksha means instructions. So Guru gives instructions, and these instructions that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are giving are on Bhajan. So this is the gist of what was said in this regard, in this idea. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the verses of Shikshastakam to all of us. We should see Lord Gauranga as our Bhajan Shiksha Guru. Srila Prabhupada is telling an Adi Lila, or rather, he's describing these points that are mentioned in Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, about Guru Tattva. He's saying that one should have one has one Diksha Guru, but one can have any number of Shiksha Gurus. So among the Shiksha Gurus, Rupa Goswami is our Shiksha Guru. Narottam Das Thakur is our Shiksha Guru. Raghunath Das Goswami is our Shiksha Guru. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is our Shiksha Guru. So certainly the head of the line is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is our Bhajan Shiksha Guru. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed the meaning of these esoteric instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Shiksha Guru always appears with a mood of intimacy. He comes before us and relates with us as an equal, with friendly feelings. Whereas the Diksha Guru, he creates more of a mood of respect, awe, and reverence. We offer pranams, and we often have a special pranam mantra for a Diksha Guru. Naam Vishnu Padaya, etc. They have some special pranam mantra. But the Shiksha Guru, he's like, generally, we don't have some special pranam mantra for a Shiksha Guru. We say, we just say "Hai Bolo Maharaj" or whatever. It's a very informal, intimate expression. So the followers of Sri Rupa Goswami, they think of Lord Gauranga, or we, the followers of Lord of Sri Rupa Goswami, we think of Lord Gauranga as our Shiksha Guru. At the end of the is this correct time? It's five, or we have 5 minutes more?
4:53.
Okay. At the end of, this is a very interesting point. At the end of Dwapara Yuga, Bhagavan Sri Krishna gave instructions, shiksha, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 700 shlokas. In the beginning of Kali Yuga, Bhagavan Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also gave shiksha in the form of Shikshastakam, but he only gave 8 verses. So, in the previous age, if you wanted to understand and memorize the teachings of Bhagavan, you had to memorize 700 verses in the previous yuga. Of course, men were taller, men were stronger, people lived longer, they were more virtuous and religious and pious and pure, and they weren't manda samanda matiya manda yupadi yupadrata. They weren't unfortunate and lazy and slow and short-lived and foolish with poor memories, as described by Shukadeva Goswami. So knowing all that, Lord Krishna said, "Oh, I gave them 700 verses to learn and understand the tattva of religious, of yoga practice, but they're very unfortunate in Kali Yuga. I better go and make a simple process. I better simplify it. Okay, forget about the 700 verses. Here's 8 verses. Can you handle it?" So, most everyone around the world, in any country, they can manage to learn the Shikshastakam. But very few people with very good brains and lots of practice, they can memorize the 700, they can memorize the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. And it comes to mind, which we neglected to mention the other day. It's a further glory of our illustrious godbrother who left his body a few weeks ago, or rather maybe 2 weeks ago, Sriman Kushakrata Prabhu. We remembered, although we forgot, and days after his departure, we remembered when we were in Los Angeles during evening milk time, or prasadam time, we'd have hot milk and some, I forget what, maybe some Mahaprasad there. And then he would sit there with the Bhagavad Gita and read to us Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and he would just turn the pages. He had memorized the 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita, Kushakrata. And he would just go like this. He'd say, it's so funny to watch. He had the book there, and he'd be looking at all the devotees, he needed the security blanket of the book or something, just in case he happened to forget one verse. He had the book in front of him, but somehow Krishna allowed him to remember all the verses, so he would just, you know, Macha Sparshasta Konteya Shitoshna Shibadukada. And he was like, his finger was on chapter 4 and he was reciting chapter 3. It was, because another godbrother met me, and he said, "Remember that?" And I said, "Oh, right, I forgot about that." So this is the person that came to enter Bhakti Samadhi in his last years in Vrindavan before leaving this world. This was 1975, he had memorized the 700 verses. Peter Vigiani, who sounds to me slightly Italian, Peter Vigiani, who became initiated as Kushakrata, he's not a Sanskrit pundit, he's not a Chaturvedi, he's not a Trivedi, or a Dwivedi, or an Ekvedi, and he's not a Chatterjee or Banerjee or any kind of thing, or a Chobe. He's Peter Vigiani. He's Prabhupada's disciple. He's another diamond in the necklace of Prabhupada's ISKCON that Prabhupada wears around his neck. Prabhupada wears a necklace, and it's called the ISKCON Mala. And on that ISKCON Mala, all the diamond jewels of his disciples, ladies and gents. So he's one of those diamonds on the necklace of, Prabhupada's diamond necklace of ISKCON. And so now he's joined his maker in the spiritual sky. So I think we'll conclude our today's discussion, and we'll have a little bit. Tomorrow we'll begin the first verse of the Shikshastakam, with a brief introduction, and then by the Lord's grace we will all meet together tomorrow. And I think we're out of time. Is there any questions? Mostly I was just reading and everyone was taking notes. Maharaj, anything? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
One check off a trivia's chance.
There's a couple things going on. Is what the